Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Welcome. Welcome, mothers. You know, welcome, women. You know, maybe you're here today, you're a mom. We really want to honor you. You're today here, you're a woman. You know, maybe you're a woman, maybe you're not a mother, but you mother people. You know, you're part of our City Light Church family, and there are so many women. You serve in different areas. You're like, you're mothering the people in our church. So we want to honor moms. You know, we want to honor women today. Women play such a tremendous role in City Light. I think maybe if we took account, the women would actually outnumber the men in this church. But we are so glad that you are part of this church. And you play such a great role. You know, that video doesn't even do justice. It's just a great video. But we know what it takes to be a caring person or caring mother. And, you know, one of the greatest blessings in your life is to have a mother, right? You know, and like I say, so today we want to pray. And I want to bless every mother here. I want to bless every woman here today. Can we just bow our heads and pray? So, Father, we pray for all mothers here. We pray for all women here today. And we pray for those mothers. We pray for those women who are even struggling right now. Maybe struggling with a relationship with their kids. Or maybe even struggling with a relationship with their own moms right now. Well, Lord, we ask you to help them, Lord. We ask you to help them in their daily struggles in child raising. We help them to give them the grace to face the challenges. Help them with this feeling of being inadequate. Give them grace, Lord, to do the job that you've called them to do, Lord. I thank you that, Father, that you love mothers. You love the women in this house. And I want to say, you women, you are loved by God. You mothers, you are accepted by God in our church family. We love you, and in this place you will find help. May we be the ones that God uses to give you the grace that you can carry on in your great ministry. So we thank you, Father. So today we honor all the mothers. We honor all the women in our church. And we say, God bless them. God bless them. And we honor them. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have a special gift for all the mothers and the women in our church today. So glad you could be here today. Are you ready for the next message? Yeah, everybody's ready. So does anybody remember what the message series title is? Shout it out. There we go. Awesome. Good. Give that woman a prize. All right. We're talking about this element of faith. Okay. All right. Let's jump right into it. Well, let's pray first. God bless this word. God bless this word. Help us to really hear this word. Hear this with our spirit. Hear this with our heart. And then respond to it. Believe it. Receive it. And live it out. And experience the great blessing and the power there is as we listen, as we obey, and we practice your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of my message today is The Silence of Prayer. The Silence of Prayer. Okay, ready? Let's jump right into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Listen to the words of Matthew, starting at verse 21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, people of Israel. But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Let's stop there. We'll carry on in a moment. So this series is all about fundamentals of faith. Fantastic fundamentals of faith. So Today we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to hit this thing called prayer again. And I'm going to talk about faith because those two are directly related. There's something about prayer that's directly connected to faith. You know, Jesus said, Luke chapter 18, verse 8, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith? Will he find people who are present into him, who believe him? See, I believe this, that we are becoming dangerously close to worshiping a Jesus that's not a biblical Jesus. It's a Jesus that we have made in our own image, in our own likeness. He's kind of like the vending machine Jesus. You make your selection, you put your prayer quarter in the slot, and then you expect him to give you what you selected. And when he doesn't, you're disappointed. See, we all want a Jesus who always speaks, who always acts, who always responds. We want a Jesus who says to us, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Or come to me, you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or the Jesus who says to you, remain in me, and if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. See, we want a Jesus who gives us what we want. We want this Jesus who will be what we want him to be. And we really want a Jesus who he says what the Bible says he will be, right? So that's why when we come to this story, the first time I read the story, I was a little astonished. I was a little bit astounded. I was a little bit troubled. When I first read the story, the text says that Jesus leaves Galilee and he goes to a home in Syrophoenicia. Now, he goes there incognito. He wants to be anonymous. He goes in anonymity because he needs some R&R. He's human too as well, right? He needs rest and relaxation. But there's this woman who lived in that area who discovers that Jesus is there. And so she goes to his house where he's at. And this woman, who's also a mother, comes to Jesus with an urgent request about her child. And I say it, I'll say it again. One of the greatest blessings you'll ever have in your life is to have a mother, especially a godly mother, who prays for you. Amen? You better appreciate that woman, right? Appreciate that mother who just cares for you. My mom was like in her 90s, and I'm still the little Dougie to her, right? Oh, Dougie, did you lose your car keys? Are you warm enough? Where's your jacket? Where's your coat? I mean, she's 90 years old. She never stops mothering me. What a privilege it is to have a great mom, right? You honor those. That's a gift of God in your life. So back to the story. Here's this woman. Like, how could somebody in that outside area, that pagan area, know about Jesus? How could she know? And how could someone actually know that he's in the house? Here's the reason why. Because 8 centuries before lived a guy named Elijah the prophet. He's the prophet that said, don't bother watching the Weather Channel. Don't bother watching the evening news, because for 3.5 years, it ain't gonna rain. And it didn't rain. He's a prophet of God. He's the same guy that God fed by ravens through his raven catering service. Imagine what ravens are going to bring you. What kind of meat, right? But when you have nothing else to eat, it's food, right? And he also gave him a brook to drink from. twice a day. But the brook dries up. And then God opens up another door for Elijah. And Elijah ends up going to this pagan territory of Tyre and Sidon. And there he discovers this woman who's collecting sticks. And he says to this woman, "Hey, what are you doing, woman?" She said, "Well, I'm making one more fire. I'm taking the little bread that I have, little flour that I have, the little oil that I have, and I'm going to make a little cake for my son and I. We're going to eat it together and we're going to die." And Elijah says, "Okay, go ahead and do that. But first, make me a little cake. Make me a little cake." I believe in that woman wanted to protest at that moment. Said, "What are you talking about? We only have a little bit." But you see, but you know, the Bible says she did it. She obeyed. She did what the prophet told her. She put God first. And she had a miracle that sustained her and her family through that entire famine. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of oil was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. See, that's how the Syrophoenicians in that area knew about God, Yahweh God. That's how they knew. This woman in Matthew's gospel heard about Jesus, and she comes to him and disrupts his R&R, disrupts his anonymity. And she has this request. She comes before him and says, "Lord, I desperately need your help. My daughter is possessed by a devil. And when I look at my child, when I see her glassy eyes, when I look at my child and she's someone that's not even close to the person I give birth to, I am deeply affected. It affects me. It hurts me. So have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on my child." And the Bible says, Jesus did not even say a word. He did not reply. He ignored her. Now we can understand Jesus. Same. If you read the last gospel in Matthew's gospel, second last gospel in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is on trial before the chief priests, and they challenge him, say something to defend yourself. And the Bible says he said not a word. We understand a Jesus like that. But this woman, we understand a Jesus who was challenged by Pilate to be his own defense attorney. And it says Jesus remained quiet. We understand that Jesus, who was questioned by the high priest and said, "Man, don't you know what kind of power I have? Speak up." And the Bible says he remained silent. He did not utter a word. He gave no answer. But this woman who's troubled, she's brokenhearted over the serious condition of her child, and for Jesus to ignore her, to say nothing, to look at her and say nothing and ignore her. See, we don't understand that kind of Jesus. We want a Jesus. We want to worship a Jesus who always speaks, who always acts, who always gives, right? But this woman, but Jesus literally is silent. Jesus says nothing. Silence. What do you want to talk about? You know, the silence of prayer. You know, I believe that our society doesn't like silence. I don't think we like silence. Silence. You get into your, as soon as you get into your car, what do? Turn on the radio, put in a CD, and don't even listen to the words. Whether you're listening to the words or not, you like the sound, right? Or you get home, nobody's home. As soon as you get home, what do you do? What do I do? I turn on the TV set, right? Oh, and I go into another bedroom. Oh, turn on the TV set. Go downstairs, turn on the TV set. Right? Do you ever do that? Right? You don't like the quiet, right? We like the sound, don't we? No, it's not unusual for our in our household to have three TV sets on. Nobody's watching them, right? We just like the sound. See, we like the sound. We need the sound. But let me tell you, sometimes we need the silence. Sometimes we need the silence. I remember when we went to Hawaii. First time we went to Hawaii. It was the second time. We visited the Pearl Harbor Museum. You ever gone there? You go there, we went there, and there's all kinds of people there, and you're looking at all the exhibits. This, you know, it's not very noisy there. You notice there's not a lot of talking. It's pretty quiet, especially when you're standing, watch the next picture, when you're standing over the USS Arizona, which is the resting place of over 1,100 sailors and seamen. That's their grave. That's their burial site. And when people are standing there, there's not much talking. It's quiet. See, we need silence. The question is, how do you handle silence? How do we handle silence? Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still. Stand still." He said, "Be quiet. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Habakkuk chapter 20, verse 2 says, "The Lord God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Revere him. Shut up. Look at God. Revere him. Honor him. Respect him. Love him." Right? Psalm 46, verse 10, one of my favorite scriptures. God says this to me all the time. "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." Wow. Know that I am God. Don't focus on who you are, what you're going through. Focus on me. Be still before me. Just be quiet. Elijah was the same prophet that we talked about that also hit a time in his life when he got so discouraged. You know, you read the story of Elijah in 1 Kings, miracle after miracle, signs, wonders, a miracle is done to this guy. But he hits a point in his life where he gets so discouraged. He has a death threat in his life by Jezebel, the queen, and he becomes afraid. He starts running from God. He loses his ability to be that prophet of God. He's so disappointed. His faith is at an all-time low. And God tells him, "Elijah, I want you to go stand on the side of the mountain, get in this cave, and my presence is going to come by." And so Elijah stands up there, and what does God do? The scripture says, God sends this mighty windstorm, literally tears through the mountains, breaks the rocks before the Lord. And it says, but the Lord was not in the windstorm. What does he send next? He sends an earthquake next, shatters the foundation, shakes the foundations of the mountain. But the Lord is not in the earthquake. Then the Lord sends a mighty wind or a firestorm. Go back. Rushing by the cave. And the Bible says the Lord was not in the windstorm. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. Not in the fire, not in the windstorm. After the fire, a still small voice. A still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, notice he heard it, that he wrapped his face in the middle, face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah?" God was not in the earthquake, God was not in the windstorm, God was not in the fire. But God was in the still, small voice. And we have to hear that voice. Amen? We have to learn to hear that voice and listen for that voice. Question, how do you handle a God who chooses not to speak to you? How do you handle a God who chooses not to speak to you in the emergency? Where you're in the crucible of trouble. When it seems like he's ignoring you. How do you worship Jesus like that? When your family's been living in Egypt for over almost 400 years, for four generations, and God has not stopped by, and you're still making bricks without straw, how do you handle a Jesus who tells you to get into the boat, cross to the other side, and while you're doing it, this mighty raging storm builds up, and Jesus falls asleep on you, and you're in the worst danger of your life? How do you handle a Jesus like that? How does this woman handle a Jesus like that? Three things happen to this woman. Number one, Jesus ignores the Canaanite woman. Verse 22, she cries out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." And it says that Jesus never said a word. Give no reply. Who replied? Disciples did. Disciples had a word. They always had a word. And usually the wrong word, right? What did they say? "Lord, this woman keeps bothering us. Send her away." We don't treat people like that in this place, in this house, do we? Who come to us with a need. Do we? We don't treat people like that. You know what I say? This woman had three major problems in her life. She had three problems. Number one, she was from the wrong race. She had the wrong face. She was a woman. A pagan woman never was allowed to even address a Jewish leader and stand before a Jewish leader. Do you know that? She had the wrong face. She had the wrong face. She was a woman, and she was a Syrophoenician. In other words, she was from the wrong race. She had the wrong face. She had the wrong race. She was a pagan. She was a Gentile. And she was from the wrong place. She was outside the promised land. She was outside the blessings of the Jewish people, right? Wrong face, wrong race, wrong place. Jesus ignores her. Number two, Jesus excludes the Canaanite woman. Jesus says, to make matters worse, "I wasn't even sent for you. I wasn't sent for you anyway." Verse 24, Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost people, the people of Israel." So Jesus, number one, you're excluding her. And Jesus, number two, you're ignoring her, and now you're excluding her. Wow. So I believe this. I believe some of us, if we're in that place, we'd have given up on Jesus at this point. I believe that. Especially when he says to you, "I wasn't sent to come and help you. I wasn't sent for you." I believe many people would have walked away. Many people today have walked away from God and have walked away from church because they've been disappointed. But this woman, she was indefatigable in her spirit. She was irrepressible in her faith. She had guts, she had nerves, and she just would not take no for an answer. Would she? She hung in there, she pressed in there. At that point, when Jesus said, "No, no, no, wasn't sent for you, you're not even a Jew." At this point, I believe that she could have walked away, but she didn't. Verse 25 says, but she came. What did she do? She came and worshiped him. She worshiped him. She falls prostrate. She worships Jesus. Before anything is done, she worships. Before the answer comes, she worships. Worship, so powerful. She worships him. Just like the story in Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And the king and the nation faced an impossible situation against a huge, vast enemy army, a compilation of all kinds of foreign peoples who come together. They form one vast army, and they've come with one intent: annihilate the Jewish people. There's always been an attack on the Jewish people, isn't there? And so he calls all the people together, every man, woman, and child. They stand in the center and they pray. They pray a prayer like this: God, we don't know what to do. We have no power, but our eyes are on you. So what does Jehoshaphat say? Well, we know we got to go and face this army. First thing he does, he puts the worship team in front. Come on, worship team, stand up here. And he puts the rest of the army behind. Worship team in front. You guys are on the front lines. And what does the scripture say? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 25, 20. He says, and they began to praise and to worship God with instruments and with cymbals, and the Lord began to set ambushes against the enemy. All those people who made those armies rose up and they started to fight against each other. They literally destroyed each other. And all they had to do, all the Jehoshaphat and his people had to do, was take up the spoils. It took them 3 days to take and claim the spoils. Wow. Point B, worship God before anything happens. Worship God before anything happens, right? Worship God. Shout before the healing comes. Shout before the deliverance comes. Shout before you get an A on your exam, right? Tell God, I'm going to praise you even before anything happens. Amen? I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. You know what that's called in the Bible? That's called Toda praise. T-O-D-A-H. Toda praise. It's a Jewish word. It means praise and thanksgiving before the blessing comes. Amen? We were called to be people of prayer and people of praise. Amen? Praise is powerful. Then in verse 25 says, but she came and worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Now, you think, wait a minute. That's not a prayer. That's only three words. Where's the rest of the prayer? Where's the rest of the prayer? We think about Peter. Remember Peter in the Bible? He was walking on water and he started to sink. Peter didn't have time for a big long prayer, did he? He didn't have to say, oh God, you're the omniscient God. You're the King of Kings. You're the Alpha and Omega. You know, he didn't have time. He was sinking. He was drowning. Water was coming into his lungs, right? Would have come into his lungs. What did he say? What was his prayer? Lord, help me! That's all it was. Lord, help me. I believe sometimes we're averse, as Christians, we get averse to prayer because we think that we have to have just the right words. Right? Just the right words. Or are we going to have a long, protracted prayer? You know, like, I can't pray like you can. You know, I can't pray like that leader can. So I'm not going to pray at all. It's not in the words that we say. It's not how long I'm protracted the prayer. In fact, sometimes God gets bored with our prayers. I think he says, shut up and be silent. Listen to me. Right? We're so busy talking, we can't even hear. The best prayer, sometimes this is the shortest prayer. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. You think about the thief that was hanging on the cross across from Jesus. He was one step away from leaving this earth and heading into an eternity. What did he say? Three words. Lord, remember me. Right? Just remember me. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is so powerful. Listen to this quote. Prayer is not the multiplicity of words, but it's the emotion of the heavenly fire that's kindled in your heart. Then you know what that emotion is called? Desperation! I need it. God, I got to have that. All you need to do is talk. Not a long talk. Just talk to Jesus. Tell him what's in your heart. Tell him what's in your mind. Amen? Number three, Jesus embarrasses the Canaanite woman. She says, Lord, help me. Verse 26, Jesus responded, is not right to give the children, that is the Jews, bread, which is the Jews' blessing, provisions, and throw it to the dogs, the Gentiles. The Gentiles were called dogs by Jews. So number one, Jesus ignored her. Number two, he excluded her. And now he's just embarrassed her. I mean, to call her a dog. To call her a dog. You know, feed the children first. It's the Jews first. That was Jesus' order that day. That was his, somebody said his chronology, right? That was his order. Now, you think this woman, she's just been ignored. She's just been excluded. She's just been embarrassed. You think she'd walk away. But the Bible says she agrees with Jesus. She agrees with him. It says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's one thing we see about this woman. She doesn't have a well-developed theology of grace yet. Yet. But she does understand that when you get something of God, from God, it's not because of your own merit or because you deserve it, right? It's not because of that. It's because God gives you grace. Grace, unmerited favor. One of the best definitions of grace. God giving you what you do not deserve. Doesn't cost you anything. But he gives it to you in spite of the fact that you are not worthy. Nobody is worthy. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. All of us have sinned. And we fall short of the glory of God. Do you understand that? All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 27. She replied. Jesus said, we don't feed the dogs, right? She replies, Lord, you're right. I'm a dog. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs under that just fall under the table. So Lord, bless me anyway. I'm not asking for the world. I'm not asking to be first. All I'm asking is, it's just what I need today for me, for my daughter. That's all I'm asking. Look at Jesus' reply, verse 28. What does he say? First two words, what does he say? Dear woman. My wife pointed this out. Like, wow, I never saw that. He could have said, you dirty dog. You dirty dog, you got me, you tricked me, you put one over me, right? No, what does he say? Dear. A term of endearment, love, respect, and honor. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Wow, wow. Jesus looked at it and said, you know what? I just can't get rid of you, can I, woman? I just can't get rid of you. No, you just keep on asking. Great is your faith. Whatever you wish, whatever you want, whatever you ask for will be granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Wow. So here's the conclusion. What do we get out of this? What is the Lord saying to us? You know what? I believe the first thing God is saying to us, my love is an all-inclusive love. Nobody is outside of the borders of my grace and my favor and my love. Nobody, right? Doesn't matter your face, doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter but your place. Where you've come from, what you've experienced, what you've done, doesn't matter. My mercy, my grace is fresh for you today, this morning, this very day. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying to you? You know what else he's saying to you? He's saying, if you want something from me, you're going to have to cross your own boundaries and your borders. The boundaries that you set for yourself. On how far you will go and how long you will wait for me to come through with the answer and the blessing that I have for you. I'm going to test your faith. Wasn't her faith tested? I believe that's what he says. He's saying. And sometimes you're going to have to get out of your Tyre and Sidon, your old past. What happened to your past? in order to move on. Amen? And you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. And you got to want it bad enough. And believe me, if you hang on, you will get it. Right? I believe with all my heart that some of us are just one prayer away from a deliverance. You are one prayer away from your deliverance. You are one prayer away from the blessing that you need in your life. You are one prayer away from spiritual, from physical, spiritual, emotional, and relational healing. You are one prayer away from a major breakthrough in your life. I believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning through me. Amen? You are one prayer away. So keep your faith during the night, because the answer, the breakthrough, the joy will come in the morning. Amen? Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. God's not finished with favor for you yet. The best favor is yet to come. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. And he's saying here, yes, God may be silent for a while. He may be still for a while, but he will give you the answer. He will give you what you need. Right? He will come through with the breakthrough. You can break through to the other side of silence, but it will take faith and patience to inherit the promises of God. Amen? Hebrews 6, 4. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Father in heaven, I want to pray for all those here today, every single one of us, no matter who we are. We've gone through struggles, and we will go through struggles. I want to say that no matter how desperate your problem may seem right now, that God is greater. God, you are greater than that. And so we call upon you, Lord, for your help. And I pray for those who are struggling, those who are standing against what seems to be impossible, situations that we have not yet seen the breakthrough from, the answer for, the healing yet, but they will come. I pray for us. I pray for the strength to keep on praying, to keep on believing you, God, for that breakthrough. Because I know for sure, like your word tells us, through Christ, we will overcome. We will receive. We will yet see the goodness of God in this life. Amen. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, come. Touch us. Give us strength. Strength of spirit. Power to stand. Power to persevere until we see the blessing come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to also pray for all of us here. Father, we talked about prayer 2 weeks in a row now. We see how critical, how important prayer is. Father, I pray. Father, first of all, I want to repent for all of us who've not prayed the way we should. We've hit situations, we look to other means, we don't even open our mouths sometimes, try to figure it out ourselves. Father, forgive us for not praying. Help us to cultivate this intimate prayer relationship with you. And make us, I say, into a people of prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Just keep your heads, just bowed for a moment. I want to say to me, today you may be here and you don't know God. You don't know Jesus. He's had his eye on you for a lifetime. Even before you were born, he had his eye on you, and he's waiting for you to come to him today. He invites you to an experience and to have the greatest blessing you'll ever have in your life by making the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. And that decision is to leave, is literally simply to receive Christ into your heart and to receive this great and costly gift of life. It's called eternal life, called salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that before, all you have to do is to sincerely ask Christ into your heart. He wants to give you a big relationship with him, and he wants to give you a brand new start in this life. And when you pass away in this life, you go to eternity, into heaven with him. Amen. If that's you, and you need Christ in your life today, will you pray this prayer after me? In fact, let's all pray this prayer out loud. Father God, thank you for loving me and proving it to me. And by dying on the cross for all my sins, today I receive you because I believe in you. I receive you into my heart by faith. And I ask you,